because I'm on the sunburn amazingly fast. Okay, ready?
Okay.
So say, what's going?
Hi, my name's Ronald Boatwright, and I'm going to kind of give you a tour of a transformation that I made. And basically, it starts right here in front of Bread of Life, and the St. John's Church is something that I did in my life. I figured that was not only spiritually, but, you know, it was something that I just, you know, made up my mind to do. But anyway, if you like to, I was explaining that before this building was here, I watched it being built. We're looking at about 10 years ago. And it's right all the way across here is where a lot of us used to sleep at. Like that, we did our drugs and things of that sort. And, you know, things had to change. Once the pastor found out what was going on, we had to move. And then we transferred from there. Ready?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we transferred from there to up under the freeway right here. And this was also another transformation that we made, because we were doing this, a lot of us were doing the same thing. Let me speak more or less of me. I was doing more or less the same thing, you know, because you know, if nothing changes, then nothing changes. But we did have opportunities and things of that sort. But I guess at that time, I guess I just wasn't really ready to change. But anyway, you can, right here is where, when we left from up in front of here, we came and we all started sleeping down here. And from here, underneath the freeway, or what they call up underneath the bridge, is where we all used to sleep at. And like I said, I mostly stayed in the same vicinity because of the simple fact of the church. I had a place to come take a shower, change clothes, eat, things of that sort. I tried to keep priorities in mind, you know, of what I was doing like that. I had some type of pride about myself, although I know I was wrong. But yet still, you know, it is what it is. And I did it, I've been there, and I've done that. And there was another section where we're going to make this block right here.
On Pierce Street.
Yeah, going down Pierce Street, there's a big, huge field right there. And I guess we can walk down toward there. Actually, not only here, we had some people that were sleeping here. Only reason why they stopped because they used to get wet when it rained. But there used to be people used to sleep over here. And it looked like it took them forever to finally start cleaning it. There used to be trash all over there, but they finally started cleaning it up. You know, and life hasn't been, you know, it hasn't been easy. You know, I already know, you know, they always say God says it's not going to be easy. You know, it's one of those things you have to take one step at a time. And matter of fact, I also saw when these were being built.
59 and 45,
exactly. And all down through here, all night long, you had traffic and people, you know, coming to either buy their drugs or take their drugs with them. Whatever they did what they did. And the spot where I'm headed now is basically where I ended up until I moved into the bunkhouse. Okay, you see this big field? I wanted to see if she could get that whole field right there. That's where everybody used to hang out at. Well,
quote
unquote, it was kind of a family thing. Everybody knew everybody. Like that. Everybody knew everybody, and usually when a stranger came around, we knew they weren't from down there, you know, so we had to kind of weed out who was the police and who was not the police, you know. And it didn't matter whether white or black or, you know, it didn't matter, you know, we never knew who was who. You know? So if we didn't know them, then you know, usually we tell them, hey man, you're not welcome here. But anyway, yeah, we're turning right here on, I think this is Jackson Street. Let me see. I'll make sure. But we're still on Pierce. It's just we're making the block right here on, I think this is Jackson Street right here. And right here, this was the big party scene right here. Matter of fact, the higher pole, that's why I should lay my mat right there and sleep like that, because you know the higher it was, the less rain would come down like that. And you had people all night long, all day long. And from here, this is where I transferred from here to the bunkhouse. But I stayed out here quite a long while. And the police would come out here every now and then. They wouldn't really hassle you, but they would check your ID, you know, make sure you didn't have any warrants like that, and then they would move on. And then we would go back to doing what we were doing. But that's basically, you know, my whole transformation from, you know, being on the streets to not being on the streets like that. Like I said, when I left here, I went to the bunkhouse.
So as we walk back to the bunkhouse, can you talk about what made you want to move and how that transformation occurred for you? Should we walk around this?
Yeah,
way?
How can I put it? I'm getting older.
Yeah.
You know, and it you know, you can't just keep doing the same things over and over and over again. Sooner or later, age kicks up with you, catches up with
and
you.
And as you're saying that, the flower man is riding right by.
Yeah, the flower man. You want to get him on camera?
Yeah,
I don't know what you want to get. You did.
You know the flower man story, right?
Yeah. No.
You know about his whole story?
Not exactly. He told me bits and pieces of it from, I don't know from what all the other. I mean, maybe you could tell me something
about
him.
Flower man. So he's a famous artist in Houston, and what he does is he collects things that he finds laying around.
Right.
And there's been two different houses he's had where he's decorated the yard, and the whole house is like these shrines. But he started because he says one day he was like laying in a ditch drunk, like a lot of days in his life.
Right.
And he had this vision of God who said, if you cut this out, you need to build this.
Yeah, because he doesn't drink.
Sober.
Yeah, he's sober. Yeah, he's sober. He doesn't drink. He just rides around and picks up things. Yeah, that's the only part I do know. Like that. Yeah, he doesn't drink. He doesn't, you know, he just rides around.
But now he's famous. He's been on all kinds of TV shows for his creation.
Right. But like I said, we'll make the block here. And like I say, both these buildings I did see get built up. And I thank you for the story about the flower man. So you told me something. And as you can see, we always had the store up here. This is where everybody, the Citco store, you probably see right there. We had a guy that used to be there that worked overnight because it's open 24 hours. And it's the work we call, he was our bootlegger. He would sell alcohol after. He doesn't work there no more.
Uh-huh.
He got fired. But that's where we come get our alcohol from all through the night. All the time. Let me see. I'm trying to make sure that I was right about this street. Yep, the street was Jackson. So I was correct.
So do people still sleep here now?
It depends on the time of day.
Oh.
Usually they'll come early in the evening, maybe 6 or 7 o'clock, right before dusk.
Yeah.
And they'll sleep there overnight.
Keep it a little closer.
Yeah. And they'll sleep there overnight. So, like I said, this is how I kept it, you know, pretty simple, because I always wanted to make sure. I don't know. Maybe it's just a thing with God just kept telling me to stay close to the church. Stay close to the church. No matter what, stay close to the church. And that's basically what I did. And it worked out for me.
How did you get your job or get into the bunkhouse?
I've always had a job.
Okay.
Yeah, I've always worked. I've always had some type of work to where, you know, I was always able to get in like that. And I just paid my own way.
Yeah.
Okay, I paid my own way. And it wasn't, a lot of them knew me in the bunkhouse, and then a lot of them would tell me, man, why don't you come stay here,
yeah.
Like that. And eventually I took advantage of it and moved there, and I guess, how can I put it, I guess the rest is history.
Yeah.
You know, and I stayed there until I moved into my apartment, and that's where I am right now, and as to this day, I'm still working at Cadillac.
Yeah.
and all like that. So, but other than that, you know, it's not really much more I can say other than you guys know my life story of just that little bit of transformation.
Well, are there any other things about your experience that you feel like people don't know are part of the experience when they see somebody without a home?
Well, it depends on you know, on how you look at it. You know, a lot of people, you know, you may see situations like this and you say, man, I got to do something different. I remember times when I would sit down and I would say to myself, you know, it's just like, what's his name? I can't think of his name. You know, I don't want to actually put him on the spot. You know, he's caught up in that Star of Hope cycle, you know, and he doesn't want to change. And he said, God is telling him not to change. When there's situations where he can go look for work and don't have to be in at 3:00 every day. You know, the way it's set up, to what did give you enough time to do nothing, because you're study rushing to get back here, you know, to the Star of Hope to get in to get a bump. And I said, well, if you get in the men's work program, I understand it's a program. But yeah, I understand it's a program, but yet and still, it gives you more time to do what you need to do, to look for work, and still, you know, be able to get back. You know, you don't have to be back at 3:00 like that. So I was just saying to myself, if I'd had to, I would do that. You know, like I said, I'm really don't like programs. But if it was to get me up off the streets where I could go look for work, then that's what I would do. But other than that, like I said, I can't speak for him. I have to speak for myself like that. I worked it out for me. And I hope that you know, many more can work it out for themselves also. And I guess that's about it. Thank you.
Yeah. I'm going to take some of the ambiance off for a second. In case I need to make extra pauses or anything.
Yeah. Well, but they always say, can you take my things out?